Why don't you turn with me for a few minutes to John chapter 4. Hallelujah. Father, just stretch your faith this way and bless me. I appreciate it. Father, I just thank you. I give you all the praise and glory. Your grace is sufficient. I thank you, Lord, that you minister and minister through me. And I thank you, Lord, that you minister to them. And I thank you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to remind you tonight of the blessing of private worship, and really reminding us how important that part of our life is, and to encourage you in it. I want to read some places that we've read before. One place, just in particular, and it's in John chapter 4. And we're going to start at verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, therefore being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was the sixth hour. Now I just pause right there to say this. I'm kind of glad, in a good way, that Jesus was wearied from his journey. I'm not glad that Jesus was tired and wore out, but I'm just thankful that he could be. I'm just thankful that he could be, because he had the same physical body that I have. And he won through the same way that I have to win, and that's through faith against anything that comes at my body. And the man just got dog tired, just like any physical body can get if he walked a long ways or did a lot or worked hard. So it's so important that we don't super spiritualize Jesus in a wrong way, but we understand that he just could get really dog tired. And that's he was. He was wearied from his journey. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And that was absolutely true. She was speaking the truth. They were a mixed company. The Jews had interbred, if you want to say it that way. The genealogies had become tainted with Gentiles, and Samaritans were Jews, half Jew, half Gentile. And the thoroughbred Jew, if you want to say it that way, hated them. You know, one of the things that you're talking about, religiosity at its height, the Pharisee would pray every day, I thank you, Lord, that I am not a Gentile. And I really believe, now this could be comical, but I think this is the order of it. A dog or a woman. That was it. Sorry, ladies. That's really bad, isn't it? That must tell you how the women were respected by that mindset. But the Samaritans were not only Gentiles, they were mixed Jews, so they were really, really hated. And so when Jesus addressed her, he was really out of order according to the day, the ethics of the day. Jesus, in verse 10, answered her and said, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, Thou hast nothing to draw with. Now she's really getting interested here. The well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank thereof, himself, his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water, now he's speaking specifically of this natural water, will thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now he's talking about the new nature there. That's what he's talking about. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus said unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. Now, he wasn't going to shame her. He just wanted to break down all pretense. He wanted to pull down all of everything that might be a pretense in this woman's life to be able to get to her. The woman answered and said, I have no husband, Jesus said. Thou hast well said that I have no husband. God bless her. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband. And that saith truly. She was mixed up. A lot of your ladies are thinking, how in the world would she want that many men anyway? One's always been enough. More than enough. Too much. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Now that part was right. She had it right. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where you ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what, why. Why did he say that? Because salvation, he says, is of the Jews. In other words, the lineage of God, Jehovah, Yahweh, has come down through the Jews. It's the Gentiles really had no concept of the true God. They were always serving some type of idol. But the hour cometh, and presently is, it's in effect, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. And we broke this thing down several times before. But what we understand now is, to all of you that are seated here, I don't have to go into background. You understand that this spirit here, the worship the Father in spirit, is that new nature. And that Jesus is saying to her, the Father, the hour has come when the true worshipers shall worship the Father out of the new nature, out of that spirit. And when he says truth, well, we do know this. We know that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. But what he's specifically talking about here is this, and the word says that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. But what it's telling us here, what he's telling that woman there, and what it's telling us here is this, that once you're born again, not only do you have the capacity then to know him spirit to spirit, because you have a spirit that came from his life. It's one just like him. It has the Zoe of God. It has the full DNA, the God DNA in it. It can touch him and he can touch you. But it also has a capacity for truth. The truth, the real truth of God, the truth of who now you understand truth as it is in the light of who Jesus is and who God your Father is to you. He really is your Father. So that when you look at him in worship, you not only have the capacity to worship him spirit to spirit, but you have the capacity to worship him in spirit, in the very truth in which he exists, the reality of which he exists. Therefore, when you're worshiping him, you're not worshiping something foreign or something that is man-made in your doctrine. You truly can know who he is, and when you know that, you can all the more appreciate him all the more. The truth is magnified in worship in this sense, that if you're filled with the Spirit, if you're born again, once you're born again, and then you're filled with the Spirit and the teacher comes in, and as we've heard our pastor, my pastor, your pastor, Pastor Dave say for years, that the fine-dressed gentleman at the chalkboard is none other than the Holy Spirit. Once he begins to teach you who your Father is, it only has an essence of magnifying what true worship is. In other words, when you begin to understand who He is in His glory and who He has given to you as Jesus in His glory, and you understand that He is perfect love and doctrine of truth has been laid on you line on line on line. We accept it so easily around here and we don't take it necessarily for granted, but we appreciate it so much that we know that there's no hurt in our Father. He doesn't cause diseases. He doesn't cause tragedies to teach us lessons. He's not the culprit behind bad situations taking place in our life. So that we understand who that is. We've drawn a line in the sand in truth. Truth has drawn a line in the sand that say this, we're on this side, the enemy's on that side. He steals, kills, and destroys. That's all he does. Jesus is over here with us, and no matter what the situation is, we can get through this and we can magnify God through this, knowing the truth of what exists around us. In other words, Jesus said in one place to the disciples, he said, or to the Pharisees, he said, you void worship with the traditions of man. You nullify, and I'm paraphrasing it now. I'm not quoting it verbatim, but what he was saying is, when you teach doctrine that is not truth, you actually destroy the capacity of people to truly worship God in truth. Example, if you're not taught right, or if you're not taught by the Holy Spirit, though you may have a capacity, if you may have a new nature, a capacity to worship God. But let's say somebody says, okay, let me start you out. Start worshiping God. Spend some time worshiping God. What they're going to have to get past if they're integrated with a lot of garbage concerning who God is, if they believe God actually, though they won't say it, collaborates with the devil to teach them lessons, like God's kind of in this. He's at the end of this, because what they'll teach is this, that He's a sovereign God. And I've got friends that are, they're extremely, extremely smart. I mean, they are a lot smarter than me. And their doctrinal position on a lot of issues would be, a lot of this is just happening to us and happening to you because it's God's sovereignly behind it, working all things together for His will to be into effect. We who have come up under this doctrine and prayed a lot in the Holy Ghost, we believe that we have a direct access to God and an individual walk with God that nullifies all that stuff about, well, God's taken me out of this. In other words, we believe that whatsoever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose, and I think the Greek actually bears out and says it kind of like this, whatever you allow will be allowed, whatever you disallowed will be disallowed. In other words, we believe we have a much more direct effect on everything that happens or doesn't happen to us, or whatever we allow, or, you know, if the devil is going to take this a long ways, it's because we allowed him to take it. If we shorten it, we have that effect on it as well. Now, let's say you're a person who is indoctrinated with a lot of junk. Once you begin to worship Him, or you even begin to try to worship Him, your concept of who He is in worship, you can say, well, He's a good God. You can say that. I think everybody believes that God is good, and then you'll have, okay, let's say it, God's good all the time. All the time, God's good. Okay, that's good. That's wonderful. But it's much more deeper than that. What is in your subliminal? In other words, what is back there in the processes of where when you step out and you say, okay, I believe God can do this, is there a mixture in there? Is there a mixture like, well, He can do it, but will He do it? Because maybe He's in here somewhere trying to teach me a lesson in all this. Okay, that's faith, and that's moving mountain faith. Okay, let's step over into worship. Let's say if you want to worship God and you want to go to another place of intimacy with Him, and you want to go to a place where, because see, I don't know what's out there. What is out there? What is out there? I think we have to ask ourselves the question, what is out there beyond where we're at dwelling today? Because we're really all bound to a certain extent until the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying we're ultimately bound. I'm saying we're bound in ourselves by experience. We think, we don't say this, but based on where we're all at, where we're all walking, even Pastor Dave, he's having to forge, I'm having to forge, we're all having to forge past a place beyond our experience. Because our experience is usually where most people qualify, that's about as far as God can take me or take any of us. Because we've not really seen, I haven't seen a revival, and I haven't seen a lot of the stuff I'm preaching. Yes, you could say, well, you've seen it, Pastor, you've seen it in your... I've seen it kind of in the spirit and in visions, but I haven't physically seen it. So this goes back to Ephesians, that scripture we were using last week, that it's only the Holy Spirit that can take us. It's the model scripture to Romans 8:26. It's the Ephesians 2 and Romans 8:26. He's the only one that can take us past our experience. I mean, how far can we go? How much of God can we go? Can we have? It's so easy to think about people that are in front of us. Do you know that Dave Roberson is not our limit? You as an individual, he's not your limit. I'm not your limit. Every one of us can go to a place in God that allows God to come and actually create such a presence in us that actually we could step out. We could step out of our car in any city and open up the heavens over that city, and the presence of God would fall on that city to where that a major revival would take place. We can get to that place. What's out there? I don't know how far can we go. I know that we can say the ceiling's unlimited, but I'll tell you what, private worship, spending time in presence, is one of those ways to get there. It's one of those ways to take us places that we've never been before. Now, the person who lifts their hands and has stuff inside of them that begins to worship God and says, okay, I love you, God, I love you, God. But let's say there's a mixture inside of them that says, maybe there's a little bit of hurt inside. Why didn't he step in 5 years ago when so-and-so died or such-and-such? A lot of times there's all kinds of... And he, believe me when I say this, he's not mad about this. He just sees it. There's all kind of background stuff going on. There's all kind of accusations going on that we won't bring to the forefront because we respect him too much. But if it's not an accusation, it's a wonderment. Why'd you let him die? Why'd you let him divorce? Why did I go through this? So we're contemplating all that going into him. Now, this is where spirit and truth... If you stay in His presence, the baptism of Spirit will bring you more and more to the qualification of where perfect love begins to envelop you. And that perfect love will wash out, it will bubble out, it will fuse out, it will... Have you ever stuck a hose in a bucket that's dirty, filled with a lot of dirty water? If it keeps... filling and bubbling over, eventually it'll run all that sand and junk and everything out of that bucket or container or whatever it is. That's the same way in spirit. We have the capacity, but the reason why we're not way out there right now where we're raising the dead is there's still stuff inside of us that just can't make all the dots connect. He wants to make all the dots connect. He will explain it all to you, but before He can ever explain it all to you, it's just like I've heard Dave again or Gary say, A lot of times we're asking God for answers to ceiling or rooftop questions. We want to know why about this, and there's just no way that God can come and tell us the why or deliver that answer over to us, because we don't even have the walls or the foundation yet into effect for us to even understand or get across to us what He's wanting to get across to us. Now, I'm reminded just the other day, you had a dream, didn't you, about walls and a roof. Can you remember that? You just think for a few minutes. We've been having dreams lately at our house. I don't know. It's amazing. I mean, I know that you can have all kinds of pizza dreams, but we're trying to figure all this out in the spirit. I'll take a quick side note and tell you this. Did any of you hear about, it was a horrible thing that took place a few weeks ago where that guy died in his bedroom, his house just sunk? That was just terrible, wasn't it? And then the next day or 2 days later, they had another house that just fell like that. And a woman was injured, and they got her out of that and stuff. And it was happening up around Tampa or someplace. Now, I don't take any condemnation in this because I didn't feel any prompting. I'm just learning. Did you know that the day before that I learned about that man falling into his death and his, I got up. It was on a Thursday, and Candy and I were going someplace, and we were in a car, and she started telling me a dream that she had. And she started telling me about this house whose floor just fell right in, or the foundation, the house just went like that. I'm telling you, we hadn't talked about none of that. I said, Candy, I had the same dream. I was standing in a house, and all of a sudden the floor just started caving in. Same dream, same night. So I don't believe I could have saved the person's life. I don't believe that. Had I prayed, I'd have saved that person's life. So please don't come to me after church and say, you missed it. He died because, no. I'm just saying we're being taught. There's something about private worship that in spirit, as you continue on, the Holy Spirit will continue to baptize your spirit. And please believe me, none of us have gone there yet. None of us have even experienced. When Pastor Dave challenged us to go into private worship, I wanted to say a few years ago, I bet it's been 10 now. At the time, I was praying, continued to pray, but my time was I'd spend about an hour in private worship, and then I would go into the Word or go into tongues or whatever. When he challenged us all at that time, then things changed, and he didn't say specifically for me to do it. I just said, okay, I'm going to do it because I'm going to see what's in this. So I came back home, and I went into several hours a day. And so that changed my whole life. That's become a foundation for me now. But when I went in to a number of hours a day doing that, private worship, and I don't know if you remember when Dave taught on it and we taught on it here quite extensively and talked about it, that at the time, some of the things that he said, the Holy Spirit said to Dave was, what you need to do is shut yourself off all your senses if you can. So he actually went into a dark room. There's nothing spiritual about that. He just was like trying to shut off everything. No sound, you know, no light or whatever. And the Lord was saying, I want to teach you about what your nature has the capacity. So don't bring any music in there. And, I know Homer's talked about that before, and I agree with Homer on that. About how that I privately worship. But I also will tell you, and I'm sure he'd say the same thing, if you need music, and use music, you know, until your spirit develops. And but I would go in for hours and still do. But I've noticed something, and Pastor Dave talked about it, that as you broke past your initial place of what you'd been used to, it got terribly dry. It got terribly dry. And it got to a place where you had to know that you were on assignment by the Holy Spirit or you just wouldn't last in there. And I'd already been for years praying in tongues. So I think I'm saying this to say this. The Holy Spirit may challenge some of you in the future. Don't try to match anybody. Don't try to do, you know, okay, well, he said he did this, blah, blah, blah. Listen to what the Holy Spirit says. However long that is, if that's 30 solid minutes or an hour of solid. But during that time, I wouldn't even really pray in tongues. I would just continually give myself over, adoring the Father and adoring Christ with all the adoration that I possibly could, and allowing the Holy Spirit to bring words of adoration and really words of appreciation. A lot of times I'd find myself wondering. And then eventually I found myself really, really at different times. To start with, there was a euphoria. It was really great. Then I went through a period of where it was like I was pushing past impasses in the flesh. I had never been there before. Later on, I don't know how long it was, there was a breakthrough. And then later there was different impasses again and breakthroughs and impasses, but it was always going higher and higher. I remember at different times being right so close, I felt, and this isn't spooky spiritual, and it's not that none of you have probably ever been there before, but I was so close to the throne of God that tears would be just, I mean, I wasn't trying to produce the emotion. Tears would just be, I'd be laying there in the dark, and tears would just be streaming and streaming and streaming, and I would just be, and at that point, you don't really have to say much. It's just, I'm just teaching tonight the practicality of private worship. Once you get into that, it's kind of like an inertia. It has its own energy, if I can use that word. It's a spiritual endowment of grace. But it's like at that point, all you're doing is you're caught up in that presence, and a whisper, just even a whisper of I love you, just kind of resounds. It just echoes and echoes and echoes, and you can feel that come back to you in the love of God, in the love of God. Now, I can tell you in that place, there is no fear. There's just absolutely no fear. If you could hold that, if that would not diminish out of you through the flesh, you could just really go from there right into just starting to do great miracles and raise the dead. And that's where we're going in the atmosphere of revival and all of us that are seeking Him. I'm challenging you to search out what your place of private worship is. I remember saying to the Lord how much I wanted to stay into these places, and still I catch these places, and I'll find those places often. But I remember Him telling me, because I just, words can't tell you where that place is at and how powerful that place is at. But I remember Him telling me this, is that He said, son, there is a place in me that I want to bring you to. And I'm not there yet. I can tell you that. I'm seeking that place, He said, where you can get so caught up in my presence is that you're fully immersed in me, and that really it's me in you doing all of the worship, the Holy Spirit. All you're really doing, it's like I said, it's that inertia. It's like a will that's going. I think it's Ezekiel's will in the will. It's like after a while, all your energy and all your mental energy is just totally relaxed. You're totally given over to Him. And all He needs from you to keep that whole essence of glory flowing through you is just the simple willingness to be there and stay there and say yes to it. Well, what's in that for us? What's in it? Well, revival's in it for us. But the other thing, too, is when He said that He wants to have worshipers that will worship Him in spirit and in truth, the Holy Spirit is not only through the Word purges us, but experience will also purge us as well. Because once you're actually in His presence, there is a learning process that's going on that nothing else will teach you like presence will teach you. So I encourage all of you. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy, I believe it's 1:7, he said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what is that spirit made out of? Power, love, and a sound mind. In other words, it has the capacity for more. What's out there? I don't know. Dave, again, I'm using him a lot tonight. He said that he saw in the Spirit a certain gene, like a chromosome, he said, that was in us that actually became us. It wasn't like that God, it was actually became us. But we had the capacity through him to cause that gene to grow up. We could take it to any level that we wanted to take it. Now, not all Spirit-filled people love God the same. He loves us the same. But we can go any place we want to go. The sky's the limit. And the glory's there's no end to his glory. Well, I just want to encourage all of you tonight in this simplicity. Go into private worship. See how far it will take you. When I begin to experience those things, I'll tell you, some of the greatest times of when we were teaching mostly on private worship, and I was spending the most hours of private worship, which I'm still spending a good portion, maybe, along with tongues, the biggest portion. But I remember when we first broke into that, there was some incredible, incredible miracles that were taking place around here. Reports. Some lady's son got raised from the dead over here in the hospital in Naples. I don't know if you remember that. That came. I know that our prayer that Sunday morning when they called and asked us to pray for that young man really raised him from the dead. And that came back in. There were people that were in my office one day. I remember going through one of those dry seasons and just being so mean and determined that I was not going to stop, that it came. That presence came. And he's not holding off from you saying, I'm going to wait till you can't stand it any longer and then I'm going to come on you. It's just that you're breaking through the flesh. And I just kept, I love you, I love you. Man, it came, he came. And I was standing up and I had my back to that door. I was standing up in the office and I was worshiping. And it was like a grown man, just in a gentle way. It was the Holy Spirit. Just started pushing on me. And I was like, oh, my God. I mean, it would have freaked you out if you'd have been in the flesh. But I was in the Spirit, and I knew. And, I mean, it wasn't a devil. It was so sweet, so wonderful. And he just it was just like I could not take it. He just pressed me up against the door. The door caught my back. And I was just like a Coke can. I just compressed right down to the floor. And the presence of God was all over me. I don't know if it was that day or right after that, when those experiences were taking place, that I walked out of my office, and I've told you this several times before, and I met the two guys in the street, and the one guy, two grown men, and they were riding bicycles, and the one guy had gout, a black guy and a Spanish guy, rough-looking guys, and the Spanish guy wanted me to pray for him. He didn't know who I was. Come up behind me, I turned around, we said hi, and he said, I think I know you. I said, no, I don't think so. I pastored that church right over there, and he thought he went to school with me, and then he realized he didn't. And when he found out I was a pastor, he said, would you pray for me? Well, I'd come out of maybe that same experience. When I went to pray for him, they began to feel the presence of God. They began to go like they were, I'm sure they were just messed up in the world. You could just see it all over them. But the sinner began to go, oh. It was like, wow, because the presence of God just filled the street. I mean, it was like one of these grace lines when you're saying, like Marty was saying the other day when, you know, Harry was playing and we were all talking about how powerful that was. And I think maybe Rex was. We were talking about you could feel the glory. Just and Ralph can feel it when he's up here. And we're just like, it's like pushing you back in a beautiful way. It was just like that in the street. Now, that's the way it's going to be in the outpouring. That's the way we're looking for it to be in the outpouring. But I can tell you this, a lot of that has to do with us worshiping ourselves into that place. Now, one of these days, because we're getting deader and deader, the reason why I can't stay so much, as long as it would like to stay, is we're not really as dead as we need to be. The deader we are, the longer it will stay, you know. Is when stuff really don't bother us as much as it used to, it'll stay. So I'd rather. Here's the deal. I'm not sure if it's. I'm not sure which it is. Is it love that wants me to to say I'll forgive? Yes, it is. It is the love of God, or it's just the lustful desire to stay in His presence. And I know if I hang on to that stuff just for 5 minutes, it has something to do with not letting that glory stay. And I just can't. To me, I want that glory to stay so much, I just can't afford to let that stuff hang around. Amen. Praise God. Well, see, I got you to give offerings tonight before. I was a lot smarter. Hallelujah. Praise God. We've done good. Father, we bless them. Let them go home tonight in the glory of the Lord. And let the power of Your Holy Spirit minister life and grace and truth. We love them, Lord. Let, I pray, their hearts be challenged to go into more and more of our times of private worship and worship You in spirit and in truth. Lord, Your truth will eventually wash out all impurities of who God is and what He's about in love. We commit them unto You, and we give You all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you tonight. We love you. Amen.